The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Steve-O.
I'm Boar.
I'm Trench.
And yeah, Steve-O is here from Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Okay, it's still a little weird for that to be like my main thing these days. A lot has happened in the last 8 years, but it's...
Well, I was going to go into it, but I mean, if you're on the Nerdy Show Network and you're... you haven't been with us the whole time, then then that might be the thing that they know you from best.
I'm aware.
You may recognize him from the water cooler at work.
For better or worse, I am one of the main components of Friday Night Fan Fiction. I guess you could call me the showrunner. I'm also one of the hosts, and I'm the person that does all the recording, and I keep everybody else in line.
Well, it's a very difficult thing to keep all those crazy cats in line.
He's also one of the co-hosts of the stream team.
Oh, yeah. How many hosts do we have now? Five? You, me, Tony, David, and Val.
Well, we also have, like, Judy and Tony's dogs and Tony's wife.
Supporting cast? Yeah. Definitely.
That's all of our Twitch happenings at twitch.com/nerdyshow. You can also find a link to the top at nerdyshow.com. And, Steve, one of the other things people might know you from is under the name Level 99.
Yep.
You're a pretty upper echelon kind of dude over at Overclocked Remix.
Oh, thou doth protest. I still am involved, but I used to be very, very involved with Overclocked Remix. I'm a posted mixer. I was still am part of the house band. I am also on staff there. I also do mashups under the name Level 99. I've done a couple of movie soundtracks under that name as well. Yeah, I've done...
When did that happen?
I've done three movie soundtracks, and I'm working on my fourth in the next month or so.
Is there any... Would we know these?
They're all hosted on RedTube. It's a lot of amateur camera work.
Right, so basically what happened, David Hubbard, the co-host from Friday Night Fan Fiction and the stream team, also was one of the original OCAD hosts.
That's Overclocked After Dark. The official, unofficial podcast of Overclocked Remix,
yes.
Which is Nerdy Show's original sister show in the podcast universe.
Absolutely. That episode 15 is still one of my favorite memories. David's friend that he met through the Mega 60 forum, Steve Radzinski, is a director, and he was making a movie, and the person he used to go to for movie soundtracks is kind of like, you know, didn't run a really work with him anymore. And Dave recommended me, and he approaches me and says, I'm working on this tokusatsu fan film. It's being funded by me entirely. I've got like $1,000 from Indiegogo. Would you be willing to do a soundtrack for me? And I said, sure, I love Power Rangers, so I'll write stuff like that. And to this day, apparently, like, people who know him know that one theme from that movie more than anything else. I've done Super Task Force 1, which is the tokusatsu movie, a short horror film called The Survivors, and a zombie demon pirate comedy called Captain Z and the Terror of Leviathan.
Can these be viewed on, say, YouTube?
Not YouTube. I think they're on Amazon streaming now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they're supposed to be on Netflix at some point. The Survivors was on YouTube, but due to unforeseen circumstances, it was taken down for a little while. And the one I'm working on, an upcoming one, is it's a horror story called Carousel about a killer carousel unicorn.
Oh, man. That's right up there with... The latest Kevin Smith joint, Yoga Hosers, and its Army of Bratzies, the Nazi bratwursts. Have you seen the trailer?
I have not seen that. This is my first time hearing about it.
It's part of what he's calling his Maple Leaf trilogy, about films just taking place in Canada. It started with the horror film Tusk, which Doug was in the first minute of. Then it's going to finish up with a film called Moose Jaws, which is the film Jaws verbatim, but at a summer camp with a moose.
That sounds amazing. That sounds like something I would aspire to do.
Jay and Silent Bob.
That sounds like something I would dream about doing.
And actually, I want to take this moment because Yoga Hosers, the trailer's up, and people don't know what to make of it. And I understand completely. Believe me, I'm right there with you. I got a little disenfranchised with Kevin Smith after loving him as a teenager. However, what he's doing with these films of just making the most absolute batshit crazy tangential idea independent movies is actually pretty noble. He's making movies for him, and we don't have to like him, but then we'll go along the ride for like this nonsense. I mean, it's about his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter as clerks in the middle of nowhere in Canada, fighting off tiny bratwurst Nazis, and also Johnny Depp is there as his weird inspector character from Tusk, and like it's just a weird movie. It's just being super duper weird, and I admire that, and I really want to see it. Actually,
this sounds like something that's right up my alley.
It's
weird. It's out there. It's unique. It's something that's very abstract. So, yeah, that sounds awesome.
And I got the Bratzies look really good. Like the makeup is really good.
Practical effects?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, but it's green screen and like some CGI and stuff. But I mean, like when you get the close ups of them, you know, like they're like a.
Okay, so we're not talking like Wolf Cop or Thanksgiving style.
Well, I've actually never seen either.
Oh, really?
I've heard good things, but
that's the Murderous Turkey one, right?
Yeah, that is
I
the
have
Murderous
Turkey. That one. Yeah.
That's the movie company that came up with Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3 deliberately. There is no Thanksgiving 2.
I think I saw the third one. That might have been the only one that I saw. Well, second one that's labeled 3.
Right, exactly. But yeah, so I've done all that stuff before, but right now my main chops are doing Stream Team and Friday Night Fan Fiction, which we just started season 4 as of last Wednesday.
Woo!
And this concludes the longest intro ever.
I still can't believe we're on season 4.
It is surprising.
It's crazy.
But hey, congratulations on four seasons of absolutely miserable literature.
My soiled underwear is my only reward.
Well, what's everybody been doing? Well, you're in Orlando.
Yeah, so I drove 900 miles to be here to Stream Team, to be here for this and the Microsode, and just to see a bunch of people I hadn't seen for a couple of years. So
Glad you made the trip, man. It's really good to see you.
I was going
to
say, the trip itself, I left at 5 o'clock in the morning so I could get here by 7, you know, compensating for traffic, so I could have half an hour to get all my crap out of the car, set up, and then broadcast Friday Night Fan Fiction. That was a long, exhausting, emotional day.
Wow. Wow, man.
But no, it's been great.
But you made it.
Yeah, I did make it. It's been wonderful here around Orlando. I've tried a lot of places that I haven't eaten before. We don't have Steak and Shake up there.
Oh, weird.
We don't. We don't have
really?
Steak and Shake.
They're
we
all over the Midwest. I just assumed they were everywhere.
No, we don't have Perkins either.
Well, that's not too weird. Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of stuff down here that we do not have up there. We're too we're too low for Tim Hortons. We're too high for Steak and Shake. So, whatever. Baltimore's all right. We got Fogo de Chão. We go there and get in a meat coma.
Fogo de Chão sounds like a great drag queen name.
It's one of those churrascaria Brazilian steakhouses.
Okay,
we've got a couple different kinds here.
Yeah, but otherwise the trip down here has been great. It's been very therapeutic. My first actual vacation in a long time, so very happy to be here.
Cool.
I don't know what else you brought me on the show for, but
tell us all about your first public sub.
It was good. A lot of lettuce.
That's why we brought you on the show to tell
just
you all
review
about that.
Public subs.
Yep.
Well, it was a chicken tender sub, and it was some buffalo sauce on it.
Mojo pork, or mojo pork, however the hell you want to pronounce it.
But Bor, you moved recently.
Yeah, I recently moved to a new house, and my girlfriend purchased a lot of IKEA furniture. So,
can you pronounce any of the names of the furniture?
No, not even one. when I was walking around the IKEA, I had some really clever things to say about some of the names, but I can't remember any of that now, nor would it even be funny out of context. But but my spare time has pretty much just been assembling furniture and playing Overwatch when I'm not sleeping or working. So that's been my last couple of weeks there.
So I have to ask, who's your Overwatch waifu?
Overwatch waifu. Oh, man. Like, which one am I most sexually attracted to, or which one do I play the most?
Yes.
Oh, man. I guess I think I play D.Va more than anything else.
D.Va's very, very cool.
Yeah. And since I'm also dating a Korean girl, I guess that would be the correct answer. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm really into Koreans, I guess.
Okay. Valid answer. Valid answer.
When I was at IndieCade at last year's E3, they actually had an indie game. I cannot remember what it's called, but maybe you, dear listener, might know what it is. It was a game about assembling hypothetical IKEA furniture. It all had bullshit, crazy names, no instructions whatsoever, and it was
just like IKEA,
right? And it was about shaping all the, like, taking all the components of, say, a 4-tier shelf and shaping them into abstract art in different rooms of a house, because you could attempt to do it right.
It just sounds like you're like narrating my life right now.
it's supposed to be a code rack. It looks like a doghouse.
It was called Bore the Game. Bore, oh, colon, the game. But yeah, no, it was actually a lot of fun and weird. And if you remember what it's called, let me know, because I don't remember, so I would like to know. Yeah. How about you, Matt? It's been a while.
Yeah, been working a lot. When I haven't been at work, I've been consuming aged media, I guess you can call it.
I thought you were going to say aged cheeses or aged meats.
Fine wines. Yes.
I say this cracker pairs very well.
Properly aged steaks.
Asiago cheese.
Just stuff that, you know, everybody has always been kind of like, you should watch this or check this out, and I just never have. So I watched both seasons of Young Justice. I watched Gurren Lagann. Next thing up is probably going to be Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, you never seen Bebop?
Wow. I've seen maybe like the first 6 or 8 episodes, but I've never finished the entire series.
I've never seen it either.
That seems to me that you've been out of touch for more than just a few months.
Matt, we should watch it together, because I also have not seen it.
Wow. Well, you're in for a treat. It holds up well, as far as I know.
The stream team, we've been watching anime together on the side just to sort of grow the fake bonds a little bit more. We watched Food Wars while I was down here, Shokugeki no Soma. We watched a little bit of Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto, which is really, really good. We got through One Punch Man, which was awesome.
I did finally watch a little bit of it, and it is actually awesome.
Yeah, so,
I was shocked that it lived up to the hype, because I started Attack on Titan, and I was like, ugh.
I couldn't stand Attack on Titan. Okay, it's so slow.
I could not either.
Attack on Titan was sold to me by none other than DJ Pretzel himself, David Lloyd. Wow. And he said, this is an anime that subverts all anime tropes. And I took him at his word, and I watched the 2 seasons of it, and I come back to him and was like, yeah, it subverted a lot of them, except, I mean, there is...
Except for bad animation that's, like, lazy and dodges budget, and a screaming protagonist.
There is a Lake Superior full of high-def anime tears from that show. It's just, there's so much fake melodrama and internal monologue in there. It does, it epitomizes that one trope. So, yeah. I thought it was okay, though.
I like the creepy parts. There weren't enough of them.
There weren't enough of them. The artwork is gorgeous, though. A lot of the stills are very, very
pretty. When they do it.
Yeah.
The other thing, the last thing I've pretty much been doing is playing Dark Souls 3.
Oh, punishment.
Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I never got into Dark Souls until 3. Except for one time when I played the first game, and Brandon came over to our house for some reason. I can't remember why. And then he started giving really bad advice about playing the game.
That sounds like Brandon, all right.
So he's been punishing himself with Dark Souls 3. I've been punishing myself with IKEA furniture.
I've been punishing myself with a 900-mile drive.
There you go.
That'll work.
Yeah, we're all just in agony over
here. So what nerd flagellation have I done?
Get out of here with your $10 words. Flagellation.
That was a $15 word. Well, I beat Fallout 4 finally, which I realized recently is actually the first time that I've bothered to finish the core story of any Bethesda game I've ever played.
What made you do it this
time?
Did
you play Dishonored?
No.
Oh.
I really wanted to. It looked amazing.
It's so good.
What made you do it this time, as opposed to others?
That I've somehow, for all the hours I poured into Oblivion... And admittedly, I didn't pour as many as I'd like to into Skyrim.
Skyrim was so good, too.
Yeah, Skyrim came at a time when I was much busier than when Oblivion came out, so it just didn't pan out right. And Fallout, I'm real busy, but for some reason, Fallout 4 has absorbed me more than any game in, like, the past 10 years.
Hmm.
So it was very absorbing, and really, the new Far Harbor expansion came out, and that's it sends you off to Maine for some kind of quest involving Valentine, the replicant detective, and I'm sure you can go back and forth, but I kind of wanted to wrap up the Commonwealth before I went off to the space, because it's not as big as the Commonwealth, but it's the largest DLC Bethesda's ever done. And you're indicating that's gone over your head. The Commonwealth is the Boston area as seen in Fallout 4.
Okay, all right, thank you.
So I was wrapping things up, and I knew that there were a lot of kind of game-changing things that were going to happen at the end of this game, and I wanted to just see where it all went. So I did, and I really wish I could talk about it here, about my experience at the end of it, because there's some stuff that, whereas it was neat and interesting, I got some frustrations that I want to vent, but I can't due to spoilers, so I'm not going to.
I've never heard of any frustrations in any Bethesda game.
You saying that with a straight face is the eighth wonder of the world. I've never seen somebody pull it off that well.
Steve-O just met me.
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing for me. For Nerdy Show, we do have an announcement. I don't have any exact dates yet, but be on the lookout for two brand new shows coming to the Nerdy Show Network. We have they're both actually from the same creative team. One's called Bad Storytellers, and the other is called RPG from Scratch. And this comes from someone who's probably not unfamiliar to you if you consume all of the Nerdy Show repertoire. It's Josh LaForge from Ghostbusters Resurrection, with Doug from Nerdy Show and Ghostbusters as a co-host, as well as two new folks to the Nerdy Show Network. And Bad Storytellers is a podcast about the craft of writing, improving yourself as a writer, but doing so by discussions about media that you're consuming, movies and films and comics and everything, talking about that, talking about the nature of that storytelling, and then turning it back around into the craft of writing stories. With the added bonus of every episode, they do this thing where they randomly generate different genres and combine them and then collaboratively write a trailer for a movie in that genre and edit together with sound effects as though that was actually the trailer at the end of every episode. And it's fantastic. And then RPG from Scratch is them building a fantasy tabletop role-playing system from scratch, going through the nature of looking at everything that works about some systems and what kind of system they want to build, and having that whole dialogue about narration. And it will, as it develops, turn into a bunch of playtests where maybe some new, you know, medieval fantasy comedy characters are probably going to spin out of that. So those are coming very, very soon. And if you want to preview Bad Storytellers, it's actually been operating autonomously for 19 episodes so far. It's coming to Nerdy Show with episode 20. So you can search for them, find Bad Storytellers, follow links in this episode's page, and start on that journey ahead of when they start coming out from Nerdy Show. Now, last episode, I think, I've been talking about DC a lot. We talk about DC a lot because DC Comics fucks up a lot. Their track record is miserable. But last time I talked about them, I talked about how I'd gotten a preview of what was going on in this event called DC Rebirth and how they were going to fix things, allegedly. And that has started as of this past week with a one-shot book called DC Universe Rebirth. And it is, what's $2.99, right, Matt?
That's what it says up here. $2.99.
It's 80 pages. The first print is $2.99. If you can still get it, definitely pick this up. It's really, really good. And future printings will not be that cheap because they wanted to make sure people got it. But it's a very hefty, expensive book. It's amazing. So what they're doing is they recognized that the New 52, that thing DC did where they rebooted their continuity, was a horrible mistake. Whereas Marvel's benefited from continuity, DC has just ruined it. And they made everything darker. There's all that grimdark. All the reasons that the Batman versus Superman film sucked is kind of what's been happening to DC over the period of the past several years. So now they're fusing what worked about that continuity with what came before in this really fascinating meta event. And I'm just going to say it here because it's already leaked on the internet even a week before the book came out. A meta event that combines Watchmen with the mainstream DC universe. Not that adds them on top of each other, but as you might recall, in Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan said that he was going to try creating his own universe or something. I can't remember the exact quote at one point in time. And it is actually attributing those changes in the DC Universe, the New 52, stealing 10 years from those characters as the effects of Dr. Manhattan reaching out from his own universe and shaping this one and convoluting it. And here's why. It's actually a meta commentary because Watchmen and Killing Joke and every other DC Alan Moore book are the best-selling graphic novels every single year at the top of every list. So what it's saying here is the fat cats in the DC corporate offices saw those numbers and said, shit, we got to breathe more grimdark into this happy-go-lucky DC universe. And so they did. And so Jeff Johns, who wrote this book, is saying, Watchmen, like people, Watchmen's a great book, but using that as the measure by which we should create our own universe, it fucked everything up. And so now that's literally happening. And it's an event that begins here. And honestly, there were, if you love any of the old DC canon, it's really powerful. There were tears. It was amazing. So DC Rebirth, I don't know if can they pull it off as it continues on? I don't know. But this one issue, at the very least, is the best thing to come out from DC Comics. It's the best single issue. I don't know. It's really good. It's,
you know,
really, really good.
I just read it. I didn't like it. There isn't enough Tim Curry.
Which Tim Curry were you anticipating?
Any Tim Curry. Communism's a red herring.
Hey, red herring.
No, I don't read comics, but I just skimmed through. That was really freaking good.
Cool.
So it doesn't take a lot to get my approval.
Well, hey, you know what's funny about not reading comics is sometimes people who don't read comics have shitty opinions that they then project onto comic books.
Really?
Even though they have no relationship with it. For example, something really unsettling just happened with Captain America. Unsettling not in that what happened in the comic was really unsettling, but what happened in reality that's unsettling.
What do you mean, all the social medias and whatnot?
Well, kind of. Why don't you take the reins on this one, Matt?
Well, I haven't read the book. All I've just basically have seen is, you know, what's blown up all over Facebook, but it's the first issue of a new Captain America story, and the last page, Captain America says, "Hail Hydra," indicating that all along Captain America has been a double agent for Hydra and is a bad guy. And apparently the author...
Maybe he just got a sense of humor.
Apparently the author has come out and said that, no, that's Captain America is a bad guy, and there's no time travel, brainwashing, whatever, like, going on. It's legit.
Really? Now, that I didn't hear, because I've read the issue, and I was reading the story, and it's written by Nick Spencer, who's a great, great comics writer. There's two stories going on. There's what's happening in present day with Captain America, you know, doing stuff, punching bad guys, and a narrative that happens back when Steve is a kid in, like, Brooklyn. And his mom's getting harassed by his dad, who's drunk. And this woman comes in and beats up the husband. She's, like, throwing down some kung fu. She looks like she's dressed normally for the time, but she kind of helps Steve's mom back up on her feet. And then at the end, she's like, oh, hey, as she's, like, dropping them off at their house. It's not a big thing, but I'm part of this, like, social club you might be interested in. It just, you know, if you want to, like, talk or anything, and it's this flyer with the Hydra symbol on it. So because of things that are going on in the current continuity with Red Skull, who has a piece of Professor Xavier's brain, Professor Xavier who's dead, grafted into his head so he can control people telepathically, he's been basically arousing a certain Donald Trump-like following in the Midwest and re-engaging Hydra amongst would-be white supremacists. And so I assumed that he, with all of his vile machinations, implanted someone in the past. But if Nick Spencer, who would coerce Steve's mom and then thereby change the timeline at that moment in time. Because he doesn't just say Hail Hydra. It's not just him saying Hail Hydra. He straight up killed somebody. He killed an established character. Not a popular character, not one whose name I remember right now, but a character who's been around in the Marvel Universe for quite some time. So, he pushed him out of a plane. Maybe he survived, but it seemed unlikely. But it's comic book, so who knows?
Yeah.
But I did take it to be time travel. So he's saying it's not time travel.
Yeah, I'd have to pull it up and try and find it to see where it came from. But that's just kind of, you know, most of, like, everything I've seen has been, you know, reactions and reactions to reactions on Facebook.
Yeah, because I know people, like, the thing with comic books is we see this a lot, because I work with Aaron from a comic shop quite a bit. And what we see a lot is folks who don't read comic books having violent social media reactions to things that happen in comic books when they see one panel from it, when they have someone poorly summarize what it is or what it means, like, you know, missing the entire context for what it is, and also not having the understanding that it's comic books, it's a fun, fluid narrative storytelling, so if Nick Spencer writes Captain America in a Hydra and writes him as a bad guy, he has an escape plan, and if he doesn't, someone else does.
My favorite thing that has come out of this, though, has been people photoshopping over the top of it. So you've got Batman, you know, saying, I killed my parents. You got Spider-Man saying, fuck responsibility. And then you've got Deadpool saying, I hate chimichangas.
Aaron actually sent me one, which I will pull up, but I won't deter the conversation from. But the thing is that Nick Spencer's actually gotten death threats from this.
Yeah. It's
gotten out of control.
Really? Is this unprecedented in the comic book world?
It's not unprecedented, but it's shocking for it to get so violent so quickly.
I've seen things about, you know, parents posting, oh, you've broken my kid's heart. Now they, you know, their hero is the villain, and, you know, they don't want to play with their Captain America toys or wear their Captain America shirts and all this stuff.
Okay, here's what it is. This is the final page, and instead of having shopped another character in here, it has Captain America saying, instead of Hail Hydra, it's just the first Ghostbusters was a really important part of my childhood.
Ouch.
So yeah, it's bad. Here's Aaron's specific words from it, actually, via a text conversation he and I had. The movie watching non-comic reading idiots are really pissing me off. First, they don't read the comic anyways, so they aren't entitled to an opinion about it. They can just continue to ignore comics, fine, but they don't have any say in what happens in the comics because they don't buy them. They ain't disenfranchised because they never franchised. Second, Hydra aren't Nazi. Fuck off with that movie shit. Third, a crazy twist at the end of the first issue? What, have you never read a comic before? What? That's right. Your only interaction with this character is in movies. Fuck off. Your pain is invalid. Which, you know, I don't really...
Sounds a little heated.
It's a little heated, yeah. But he has to deal with this every single day as a comic book media personality.
Yeah.
So, you know. It's just, you know, remember, when you see a thing go through your news feed, just don't react to the... Just research.
Just don't send people death threats because it doesn't help anyone.
Yeah. I mean, that's just general good life advice. Yeah. Don't send people death threats right next to, you know, don't start forest fires.
In Tony's backyard.
In Tony's backyard.
Now,
bathroom.
You guys have been joking off camera, effectively, about setting fires in Tony's backyard. I feel as though there's something I should know.
All right, so just one of those things where it just shows the kind of comedic interaction we have even when we're not doing broadcasting or anything, where Tony comes downstairs and says to
he doesn't let us know beforehand or anything. He just springs it on us. Hey, I've got these boxes that need to go out to the recycling. Would you mind giving me a hand? And, you know, of course he phrases it where it's, you know, because Stacy is nagging him to do it. But
and then I just look at Matt and go, sure, we can help. Grab the lighter. They're like, no, we're not lighting this on fire.
And he's mentioned earlier about the leaves in the backyard and how, you know, they had cleaned up the apartment complex had cleaned up some of them, but there was still a lot out there. It's like, well, we can solve both of these problems at the same time.
then he starts saying, we're also not going to feed the cardboard to my dogs. I'm like, well, no, because the last time we lit the dog on fire, it didn't end well. So it's just one of those one liner things that it gets turned into a whole bit.
So was there an actual fire?
No. But it's very funny to hear Tony.
It's not as good of a story if there wasn't an
actual fire. It's funny to hear Tony
fire.
Faux frustrated. He's really good at pretending.
It is
that.
Really easy to get him frustrated.
This is true. Like, real frustrated is fine too, but it's just good to hear him pretend.
I'm going to put this out here. You can toss it back to me or whatever, but I'd say consider starting a small
a fire.
Just a little one. Just a tiny one.
You got some matches we can borrow?
Yes. If you promise to do it.
We're not promising to do anything incriminating on air. It's not happening.
Well, you've already incriminated plenty.
Well, with my show, with many things.
I say what?
he was actually interrupting us watching an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
Okay.
But because
that's a cool extra fact.
Well, it's
tell us more.
Oh, right. We're supposed to pretend to segue, right?
Oh, no. But now it's weird. But hey. So I guess you were engaging in your ongoing quest to watch all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in chronological order.
That is correct. Evo. Yes. As I mentioned before, the Stream Team people, we've been trying to sort of just hang out and watch stuff together. And one of those things is I told Brushfire, David Hubbard, that I haven't seen any superhero movie since Iron Man 1. And he's like, all right, we got to change that. Civil War's coming out. You got to get caught up before you go see it. And I'm like, sure, I guess. I mean, it's like, you know, I've got negative 16 free hours in a given day, right? You know, I can totally squeeze this in.
Oh, yeah.
So we started watching, based on the supposed chronological order of watching this stuff, it, as it happens within the universe. So we started with Captain America, the First Avenger, which I went into it knowing more about it than any of the other movies. And I loved it because I love the director. The first work I ever saw of his was The Rocketeer, still one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Chris Evans as Captain America, and I thought that was a really solid way to get things started historically. Mm-hmm. According to the strict chronology, you're supposed to watch like two seasons of Agent Carter after that, which I sort of skipped over.
It's not a bad move, though, because it's a good show.
Really?
It's a great show.
Okay, so maybe
it's better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I can tell you that much.
Well, again, to each their own. So let's see. I will compare myself. After we watched that, it was Iron Man 1. They told me to skip Iron Man 2. In fact, the chronology itself said you might want to skip Iron Man 2.
Everybody dumps on it. It ain't that bad.
Well, it's not even that it ain't that bad. Does it contribute that much to the canon? Does it really lend a lot of emotional weight?
War Machine gets his War Machine on.
Yeah, it establishes War Machine.
Okay.
As a thing.
All right. And then
Sam Rockwell dances. That's important. That made the film for me. I mean, I know he does it in every film, but, you know.
And then we watched Thor, which I thought was also very good. And then it was The Incredible Hulk.
Which one?
The not
the Ang Lee
not
one?
Ang Lee, not Ed Ang Lee.
Ed Norton?
Ed Norton one, yes. The one where they
I
actually
that one.
Yeah, the one where they included the sad piano music as part of the score. And then it was the Avengers, and that was the end of like phase one or
right.
whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And then before watching we're currently waiting on me to get back home so we can watch Thor the Dark World. Before that, we watched Iron Man 3, which, to be honest, I enjoyed as much as I enjoyed Iron Man 1.
It's my favorite of all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I've heard a lot of people dump on that the same way people dump on Iron Man 2.
People just dump on it because Mandarin turned out to not be what everybody thought he was going to be.
Oh, Ben Kingsley was one of my favorite parts of that entire
movie.
He
fucking killed it. It was so good.
It was such a good thing. And I've always liked Guy Pearce as an actor as well, mm-hmm. so... It was riveting. It was funny. I enjoyed it. Somebody said to me, it's not an Iron Man movie. It's a Shane Black movie. I'm like, no, it's still an Iron Man movie. And it was a good Iron Man movie. They did a lot with, I enjoyed the character development in that. But anyways, I'm meandering. Between that and Thor the Dark World, they recommended watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has been on my to watch list for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it has its moments, but that show, I wish it was less of a mixed bag. It's been very difficult for me.
People keep telling me I'm wrong when I say it. To me, it just strikes as Game of Thrones in the Marvel Universe. Who's betraying who? Who's going to die? You know, just a lot of manufactured drama. Obviously, it's not as sprawling of a landscape of people, but
I feel like Game of Thrones sounds like, for all the love people have for Game of Thrones, it's like a compliment. But what you're talking about is not a compliment.
No, I actually thought of it. It's an engaging series in my perspective. It keeps me wanting to watch the next episode.
It's had some really amazing moments, but generally, like, half of every season isn't great.
I mean, rule. For me, above all else, the storytelling and the casting in it are very, very good consistently. I love Ming-Na Wen in almost anything she's in.
She's really good.
I mean, she stole my heart as Chun-Li, so. And she was in two video game movies. She was Chun-Li in Street Fighter, and she was in Double Dragon as well.
Oh, my God.
It's scary that I know this.
Wow.
But the casting in general was just very, very good. And I've kind of stuck on that tangent of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I've watched more than I should have, but it doesn't matter. I'll let people know when I get through Phase 2. I do plan on seeing Civil War within the next 2 weeks, so I'm going to be burning through this.
Well, you're gonna watch them in sequence with the films, right? Because they have notes that it hits as because S.H.I.E.L.D. is concurrent to the release of the film structure, so it'll reference each other. Like the dynamism between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and
the release of the movies
and Winter Soldier specifically is a reason to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. What about Daredevil and Jessica Jones?
Those are on there. Okay. Daredevil is also on my to watch list. I don't have Netflix, but that as soon as somebody can lend me their account, I do intend to watch that.
And also, season one is on Blu-ray now.
It really?
Yep.
All right, that's
it's a thing.
I bought two Blu-rays for the first time in ages. I bought Deadpool, which I saw out of whatever friggin' context you want, because it's Deadpool.
It's its own context.
It's its own thing. Yeah. I love Deadpool.
It's so good.
It was super enjoyable. Ryan Reynolds was built for that role. And I bought Force Awakens. So.
Cool.
But yeah, from a perspective of somebody who is not into comics and who was very late to the game in terms of watching the superhero movies, I thought I wouldn't be as enthralled as I am. But as much of a money-making machine as it is, they've put a lot of heart and a lot of effort into making these rewarding experiences cinematically. I actually feel like I've missed out by not seeing them sooner. So it's...
I asked you to share this after you mentioned this was a thing because I'm really fascinated by it. After this much time has gone by, you're experiencing this for the first time. So I think this is a very valid experience you're having here.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like a Luke's late to everything almost.
It is.
Haven't had one of those in a while either.
I mean, that's fine. And you can say that, I should have seen it sooner. And I honestly feel like I should have.
You do, man.
No, I know. But at this point, it is way better than I thought that any current production company or studio could have made it to be.
The
translation from comic book, even though I don't have a lot of experience with it, just the end product. You know how people say, you know, video game movies never end up well.
Yeah.
There's like maybe one or two that stand out as good experiences without being tied to the video games. The first Resident Evil movie is one of them. Silent Hill is another one that I feel is a great cinematic experience. The Marvel movies, even if you have no history with superheroes, with the comics, it is extremely engaging, and I've loved it. So
you don't think that the Super Mario Brothers film stands on its own without any context?
Oh, it stands on its own, but it's drunk. It's a completely different standing there, which I think it was. It's been 23 years since the movie was first released. That's really scary. I was over at Hex's house the other day, and we watched it together, and it is still Dennis Hopper and Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, and just every aspect of it is the epitome of so bad it's good.
I love it. It's like the Howard the Duck film where it doesn't. Ooh man, it's like you want to compare it to the source material, look somewhere else, but as its own thing, it is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But so with the whole comics thing, I'll round up my experiences that I am hungry for more. And I know there's been a lot of discussion lately between nerd circles that, you know, are they doing too many? Are they making them too big? Are they coming out with them too fast? But at this point, they've generated that hunger, and it is legitimate. And if they can continue fulfilling it and satiating it, they're going to be doing this for a lot longer than I expected them to. So that's my bottom line.
Cool. Well, it's time for some shout-outs. Because Nerdy Show is entirely listener-supported. In fact, if you haven't imbibed in certain Marvel films, you can do so on Amazon, such as picking up that Daredevil Blu-ray release. And you can do it through Nerdy Show's links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Anything you buy on Amazon through our links helps fund the entire Nerdy Show network. You can find all the ways to support us at nerdyshow.com/support, including one-time donations and also the ability to fund us monthly on Patreon, where you get all kinds of wonderful rewards in return. Actually, Steve, you mentioned Force Awakens. That reminds me that I wanted to mention that we did have a new State of the Empire out this week, our Woo! Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in Alderaan places. And so if you're not tuned into that, you should definitely go to nerdyshow.com/Star Wars and get turned on to that. That's one of many shows that got released early, because when a show comes in early, when we have it ready to go, anybody subscribing at any dollar amount on Patreon, well, you can listen to it early. And we actually have a second special State of the Empire episode that's coming real soon, early to Patreon, maybe weeks early at this point. So,
speaking of Patreon, we are at $905, so we are $95 away from our next milestone.
Yeah, that's true. That next milestone that's going to help us fund the editing of additional shows, like Pokeballs of Steelix and Atomic Robo Nuts and Bolts and all kinds of stuff. Lots of series that have kind of gotten somewhat cobwebbed that we'll have more of means to bring back effectively. And we have some shout-outs from Patreon. Let's see. First up, we got one from Kutsushita. And Kutsushita got some very interesting spam mail. And I thought it was perfect to have... You read it, Steve-O.
Can I do this in one of the fan fiction voices? Can I do this as Homestar?
Yeah, do it as Homestar.
Yeah.
Sendor, Miss Homia Fonesca. Subject, smell some fresh body of adorable Homia Fonesca. Pleased to meet you, Inquisitor. I found your images on FB. You are rogue. My BF isn't giving me any love. And I need a real man to come over and give it to me. 8-& is a big eye smiley face. I'm very playful in bed and willing to try new things. Am I your type? I have some nuts for you. Sunglasses smiley face. I am waiting for you. Welcome.
I hope that was worth it.
And, you know, there were a lot of strange characters in that in the text for that.
Yeah.
You want to hold that up to the camera for those
sure.
watching on YouTube? I've never seen it before. There's like weird lines over the letter G and the letter V and all kinds of strange shit.
Europe has a lot of languages, so. I'm assuming Miss Hermia Fonesca is from somewhere in the Euroblock.
You are rogue.
You are rogue. You didn't roll a death knight. You're rogue.
Spam mail usually does that to avoid filters.
Oh.
I'm still caught up on, you know, hello, Inquisitor.
No, it's pleased to meet you, Inquisitor.
Yeah, there we go.
And ending something with welcome. I think she's from Moonside, from Earthbound, where, you know, yes is no and no is yes. Like, that's some fucking Moonside shit and all those moon runes she's throwing up in that email.
All right, Kutsushita, you need to respond to this and ask her what are nuds, please.
I think it's supposed to be nudes.
I'm aware of what it's supposed to be, but you should respond and ask that. Like, engage in a conversation with this.
How much are you charging for these nuds?
Yeah. I mean, is it a kind of candy?
Now, we also got a shout-out from Sean Hutchinson, who has a very interesting proposal for us.
This is a nerdy show. So I've got this dumb idea to have you slowly read out a book with my shout-outs each month. And I figured why not start with The Great Gatsby, old sport. I'm inclined to agree with you about this. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. Whenever you feel like criticizing anyone, he told me, just remember that all the people in this world haven't had the advantages that you've had.
Yep.
So are we going to get sued to oblivion for having that part of the story?
Well, it was a consideration that he made of, like, if this is, you know, there's any kind of legalities to this, don't do it, obviously.
Okay.
But my impression was that the estate of F. Scott Fitzgerald probably wouldn't mind if we read a few sentences what would be a problem, you know, once a month for the end of time, because that's how long it's going to take to get us through the damn book. But what would be a problem is if we edited all those together into an actual, you know,
yeah,
full,
I think just a snippet
reading.
Or two is under fair use.
That reminds me of something I'm going to bring up after the shout-outs.
Well, that's the end of the Patreon shout-outs. Not the end of the shout-outs in general, but is this a good time?
Yeah, no, that's fine. A couple years ago, you know, President Obama came out with an autobiography, and there's an audiobook version of that biography. Mm-hmm. And somebody on Something Awful recut the entire autobiography, turned it into an original story about gods and the existence of the universe. It's called, I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to look it up. But they did it so that his vocal cadence, it sounds natural. Oh, Son of Strelka, Son of God. That's what it's called.
Okay.
It is a very interesting experience. It's basically remixing an audiobook.
That sounds amazing. That
it
sounds
is
like
crazy.
An incredible project.
He also wrote original music to the entire thing. It's like some weird outsider art kind of like theatrical experience.
And it is Obama reading it the whole time.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
That sounds great.
That's incredible.
Go check it out. Son of Stroka, Son of God.
I hate the internet.
If you back us at $10 or more, you can have us do whatever you want, with, you know, some limitations apply, but generally whatever you want, with a shout out once a month, and that's what these guys are doing here. And Sean, I look forward to future excerpts from The Great Gatsby. Patreon gets you all kinds of weird perks like that, so you should definitely check out everything we've got over at patreon.com/nerdyshow. But we also have a way you can support Nerdy Show without any kind of money whatsoever. If you rate and review us on iTunes, we have a feed for all of Nerdy Show, the Nerdy Show Network feed. We have a feed for Nerdy Show, just this show, and all the other shows on the network. And we could really use your help. It has come to our attention that the sweet spot for, let's say, substantial returns on visibility and so on, as preempted by these rating and reviewings and so on, is 250. So right now we're about 74, 75 or so on the Nerdy Show Network feed, and much lower, it'd be like 25 or something on Nerdy Show. So we need all the help we can get. If you've liked the Nerdy Show Network feed, if you could like Nerdy Show the show, please do that. That would be amazing. And similarly, if you haven't had a chance to like the Nerdy Show Network feed, just do it. Blanket the whole thing. You can go to nerdyshow.com/ what is the URL? The one for all the iTunes stuff. Well, just go to nerdyshow.com/support. We do have a link on there to the iTunes stuff. Spread the word. Nerdyshow.com/spread the word is the correct URL. And it's got all the links to all of our feeds on there. If you have a little time, just click in a 5-star rating. If you have a little bit more time, you can always leave us a review, and that would be super awesome. But that increases our visibility on iTunes, and it's cool. It's a good thing to do. You should do it. Please do it. Thank you. And we have a shout out from iTunes, and I believe Boar has that shout out. That review is what it is, not a shout out. Those come from Patreon.
You believe correctly, because I do have one from Mjolnir, and he writes, "Do you like comics, cartoons?" And this actually broke my brain a little bit, because it just says, "Genre TV shows."
Pleased to meet you, Inquisitor.
Yeah, I don't know what that part's about, but science or technology.
That means when you say genre fiction, that means science fiction, Western fantasy, like something that applies specifically to a niche rather than, say, you know, House or Beverly Hills 90210. So, like, genre fiction, so sci-fi fantasy, that's what he's talking about there. It's a turn of phrase.
Sure. Okay. "These guys and gals have it covered. I absolutely dig this podcast and its network of incredibly quality nerdy shows. And with the exception of Derpy Show and Pokeballs of Steelix being on sudden hiatus, they're flawless.
Flautist?
Flautist? That was not a flawless sentence coming from my mouth. And also, I'd like to comment, what the fuck? People keep railing on Derpy Show being gone. We've addressed it multiple times.
I'm what's Derpy Show?
I don't know. At this point, it's been gone so long. Who even knows?
Was it ever there at all?
That's a good question.
Well, Boar, I'm curious. How much feedback did you get when Derpy Show was on the air? Are you kind of like, where were you when we were on the air?
That is a little bit how I'm feeling. We had a, like maybe two or three people that would regularly like comment and be like, hey, I like this episode, blah, blah, blah. And then we go off the air and like, you know, a few months later after we've been gone for a little while, we get all these people that are pissed off and we're like, okay, well, maybe if you were around and like, you know, egging us on, we would have maybe not gone away.
Welcome to Overclocked After Dark territory. I can't tell you even to this day how many people are like, I really loved Overclocked After Dark. Do you guys think you're ever going to do it again? No. We didn't have that many people supporting us, so... Yeah. It's just what happens.
Well, maybe someday, right?
Shrug. Yeah. That's why it's a lesson to you guys out there listening right now that's why you have to actually participate along with the podcast in some way, shape, or form. If you're not given money, you know, talk to us on our Facebook group, share stuff, you know, talk to us on the forums.
Yeah, reach out in any way.
We're here, we listen and read absolutely everything you could possibly post, even if you're posting. I found something somebody posted on one of their friends' walls about Nerdy Show the other day. So we will
Which
find
was actually,
every comment.
Actually untrue.
Yeah, it was actually untrue, too.
We do not
record in the Kinkeezy.
Oh, yes. Did you show me this, Matt?
I showed it to you. I forget the name of the person now, but yeah, if you recently...
It was Sage Zero.
Was it?
Right, wasn't it?
No, I don't think...
Yes, it was Sage Zero.
Okay, sure.
Well, Sage... We haven't recorded in the Geekeasy for years at this point. It's a big room. It's far too echoey, and also there's loud people drinking in there now
constantly.
He was pitching that place as sort of like you could go there and watch Nerdy Show being recorded. No, that's not a thing.
We have recorded Nerdy Show live there, our live game show thing. We beta tested a couple times, and if we ever do it, we'll certainly do it there again because it's a lot of fun. But that particular program was extremely hard to do, and didn't get that many YouTube watches. So I would love to do more of it, but it's super hard. So that's something that we need to see a lot of support from. So basically what we're saying is we record in a well-appointed bedroom, but a bedroom in a house nonetheless, and we're a very small institution with people who have day jobs and aren't doing this full-time. So anytime you think, damn, Nerdy Show, I like what you do, you should probably tell us.
Yep.
And thank you, because you're the best.
And yeah, and if you can't help out monetarily, like, seriously, comments and stuff, they lift our spirits. Yeah. So,
who needs a mother's goat when you've got Cap?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, coming from this, you know, a guy who had a Jewish mother who was great at guilt trips.
I mean, I spending all this time self-promoting during the episode, I don't like doing this. I do like reading the notes and stuff, but I don't like spending all this time doing that. But it's something we have to do because if we don't do it, we shrivel up and die. And all these years that we spent doing Nerdy Show, I won't say they're wasted. They're not wasted, but maybe for the financial viability of our respective incomes and so on, maybe we should have done something else. So prove us wrong and help on the
TLDR,
network.
Give us your reviews and give us your money. Otherwise, Cap is going to call it quits.
It's not wrong.
So I have a controversial solution to iTunes.
What's that?
Using iTunes?
No, I was going to say, didn't Neofaust code some bots to play WoW for him back in the day?
Yeah.
Could have him code some bots for us.
To play iTunes?
To play iTunes.
Actually, do you know how hard it is to like get an iTunes account these days? I tried to like log in to do all the rating and reviewing and stuff, and it was like, give me your credit card. And I'm like, fuck you, Apple.
And I do know that's a
thing.
How
many credit cards would you have to have the bot like upvote
random generated?
I'm very grateful to all of you who have jumped through those shitty hoops. I really do appreciate it. We all do. So, thanks.
Yeah, you've done something that even I haven't taken the effort to do. Because
you son of a bitch!
It's hard! And they wanted my credit card!
I'm going to be very interested in seeing how we get out of the spiral right now.
Oh, he's going to throw something at me.
It didn't work!
It didn't work.
I didn't want to throw something too hard.
Here, throw this.
No. It's metal and it doesn't even belong to me. Anyhow.
I found other ways to contribute.
You contribute quite a bit. You do. Speaking of contributing, I believe there was some kind of crowdfunded project that you wanted to address that is a scam that people should watch the fuck out for.
Oh, this is the time of the podcast when you wanted me to get angry. Cool.
Yeah, it's a good start.
So we edit this, right?
No, we do not edit this anymore.
We're talking about Mars One, right?
No.
Actually, we do need to talk about Mars One because that is a Microsoft topic that's been proposed to us. But I don't believe we're prepared for that right now. I don't think we have the notes.
So anyway, what Cap was trying to transition into was there was a viral video going around. I think it was only about a little over a week ago.
Barely.
The viral video started, and I'm pretty sure that this video was intended to go viral so they could launch this Indiegogo campaign.
Oh, which... so it's Solar Freakin' Roadways.
No.
That's what I call it when you have a video engineered to go viral like that a bullshit product.
It's exactly like that, except for possibly even more bullshit.
Wow. Okay, I'm intrigued.
So the video... The author of the video, or the founder of this company... claim to have thought of the idea by himself. It's a unique idea in his brain for a universal translator. Has anybody ever heard of anything like that?
No, not at all. Only in like Star Trek and, you know.
But he thought of this unique idea when he was trying to talk to a French girl and realized that she couldn't speak English. So he came up with this idea like, oh, wouldn't it be great if there was a device? They could just translate everything in real time automatically.
Or you could just have everybody learn Esperanto.
That is a viable solution.
First, you know, red flag is that's the first way this is bullshit is that in Europe, it's actually fairly common for other countries to include English as a second language.
Yeah, that's part of their primary education. She probably did speak English.
They might not be like amazing at it as a native speaker, obviously, right. But they still have some background in English.
Right. And anyway, he claims to have created with 6 whole other engineers.
Wow. That's a lot of engineers.
Yeah, that's a lot of engineers, and none of whom have overlapping jobs. So there's like one software engineer, one hardware engineer, one industrial design engineer, one blah, blah, blah. And the list goes on to about up to 6. And they claim to have created a universal translating earbud that links to your phone. You actually have to have 2 in for some reason. And it links to your phone.
The bull crap goes in one ear and out the other.
And they claim it translates in real time. Something that Google can't do. That they have been trying to do.
Well, it is impossible to do with all languages because of the way sentences are different.
Right. So they launched their Indiegogo campaign. And there's so many red flags, like, all over this thing.
Please don't tell me that they raised a lot of money.
If you know anything about Indiegogo campaigns, you know that Indiegogo campaigns, they can take flexible funding where you can just say, like, I need this amount of money, but if I get less than that, I can still probably do the project.
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter where there's no cutoff point.
Right, except for, like, Kickstarter, which is usually slightly more legitimate, I would say, as far as launching this type of a campaign would go, mm-hmm. where if they don't hit a certain level, then they don't get any of the money because they wouldn't be able to do it with less money.
Right.
Which makes sense because especially when you're building something, you know, revolutionary or expensive to produce, it would make sense to have a cap. Like we couldn't do it if we didn't hit this point. But this Indiegogo campaign said, oh, we'll take $75,000 or less. Guess how much it is at right now? It's only been up for a few days.
$300.
$1.7 million they have raised so far.
Oh, God.
Is there a cliff nearby?
There's a lot of poor chumps.
And going through the comments that people are leaving on like both their Facebook page and the actual Indiegogo page itself, is they keep saying, like, oh, my God, I'm a police officer, and I'm always wondering what people are saying when I'm trying to arrest them. And, like, oh, my God, I'm a teacher, and I have students that this would be great to blah, blah, blah. And people have all these, like, stories about how this will help their lives and stuff. But I don't think they realize that this is a complete bullshit product. It's one that can't and will not exist,
at least by
these people. It's called the Pilot.
Yeah. And I believe this is unrelated to a scam of a universal translator from last year, right? There's one where it had this video. I've been looking it up.
Was it the Babelfish?
No one's ever called it Babelfish because that's aside from the Babelfish online translator. But there was a video where this this guy is flirting with girls in different countries.
I remember this.
And he like talks into his phone and then it says it back to them and like and so on. And
oh,
it,
that's the one where he kept trying to kiss girls, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it was really, really fucking predatory and weird.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like some sort of just an art project or something? And
Is that how they wrote it off eventually?
Yeah, I don't think that wasn't a product that was just some guy making a weird video.
I didn't hear that, but
I think that might be the excuse, but I feel like he was trying to do the same thing that was
right
happening here. But people got on him not because the technology was impossible so far, but because he was being a fucking predator. And also he was saying this is a real video, but in fact it was all faked. But yeah, I mean, like, I can't 1.7?
1.7 million. Oh. It's actually closer. It's probably closer to 1.8 by now, actually.
Jesus Christ, that's terrible. And
And they haven't showed off. They don't have an actual product yet. They have earbuds, and they say that it's going to connect up to an app. And it seems like the app is actually the product, but people aren't really even sure about that because they're really vague in the how and the what's going on thing.
Man,
they're just selling this idea of a universal translator and saying all this stuff, and it's ridiculous.
That makes me very sad.
And people in the on Indiegogo are, some of them are skeptical, but people are like, oh, this is a great idea. Why can't you just go along with it? And of course the hater's gonna hate. You know, that's always a good comeback to, hey, this is a scam.
Like I said, it's Solar Freaking Roadways all over again. So.
But I did. I posted this on the Nerdy Show Lounge where we had a pretty good discussion about that. And I also posted it on my personal Facebook page. And I actually got one of my friends to...
No!
I got them to take their bid away.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got somebody to donate.
No.
Don't scare me like that.
Somebody already had... And then came back and read that and started a conversation with me about it on my wall. And I was like, hey, you really need to get your money back. And I was like, worst case scenario right now is you lose all your money. Worst case scenario, if you listen to me and you don't back these scammers, is that you have to wait a little bit longer later on to get your product.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so unbelievable. And seriously, that is the most logical way to look at it is right now, if you wait, all you'll lose is not being the first person to have it.
It's not an exclusivity thing.
Yeah.
Because they have the minimum funding. If this is real, they can just launch it.
Yeah.
There'll be no problem for them.
If for some reason any of you listening to this have contributed to the pilot Indiegogo, please reverse your bid there.
If you want to throw your money away, you can certainly give it to Nerdy Show.
Yeah. I bought an Ouya.
Oh, me too.
Well, I mean,
we should have
that
a discussion about
implausible.
That at some time.
Well, we actually have a Microsoft request for failed video game consoles.
All right.
And when that Microsoft request came in, it wasn't necessarily like, but now it's top of the list. And beneath that, only just is Engage.
I won in on that episode.
Okay.
I won in.
But, I mean, the Ouya, that wasn't anything like crazy or pie in the sky.
They delivered what they promised. It just didn't turn out for them like they thought it was.
Yeah,
they're kind of
we'll save the conversation for another day.
Yeah. I mean, but granted, if as far as like, you know, scams go, I feel that the laser razor shaver tool from last year was far more viable than this thing. That was an actual razor that you were meant to shave with that had a frequency laser that had allegedly been tuned to a certain frequency of light that would cut hair but not your flesh.
See, I would believe that before I would believe that there was a viable universal translator on the way. And I would also believe if you came up to me and said, I stumbled upon like infinite free energy. I would believe that for at least a little bit longer than you claiming that you came up with an idea for a universal translator and that it's going to come out soon with you and your six engineers.
Well, that's even it. if he legit had figured this thing out, if he walked into Google, he could
yeah,
sell
it. Yeah, they would be like, dude, we're giving you all the money. Here
he
you go.
He would get way more money out of Google if he had this figured
yeah,
out
Google
than he would ever.
Google would pay him for that. Microsoft would pay him for it. Apple would pay him for it. There's so many people that would just throw money at this if it was legitimate.
And it's going to happen, and it's going to happen in our lifetimes unless some kind of calamity murders one or all of us. But, you know, we're close to it, but we're not that close.
No.
It's not going to happen now.
And it's even unrealistic in, like, Star Trek and stuff like that because it can't be real time. Sometimes it has to wait for an entire sentence to be spoken before it could even translate properly.
Darmok Angelata Tanagra.
Exactly.
Man. I'm glad somebody got that.
Yeah.
Well,
I could talk about that episode for, like, an entire...
We should do that at some point over drinks.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
Steve-O
maybe now
and Boar with a bottle of vodka
on the floor.
New series coming to Nerdy Show. So that's it for us tonight, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week where we actually do have a conversation over liquor. We're doing drunk Game Boy history, a listener requested topic. Actually, the listener requested topic was just Game Boy history. But thank you to Arceus, one of the folks here at Nerdy Show, for
it was him
adding a very important adjective to the beginning of that. He wasn't the requester. He was purely a meddler, and I'm glad he did.
He contributed in other beneficial ways, though.
Yes. So taking us out in honor of the impending release of the Warcraft film from Duncan Jones. We're going to listen to some Warcraft raps here. This is some brand new stuff from Phil Harmonix, who is he's got this mixtape called WooCraft, and it's a 7-track album featuring World of Warcraft raps over Wu-Tang beats. And what's further interesting about it is he's the first artist other than Mega Ran and K Murdoch to be released through Mega Ran and K Murdoch's label. And this is produced and mixed by Meg Ren and K. Murdoch, and every track has a weird kind of Wikipedia-like intro explaining aspects of the World of Warcraft by Meg Ren.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Now, reviews for Warcraft, what's been coming in so far, not looking so hot, but my hopes remain high because I believe in Duncan Jones as a filmmaker. So we'll see.
I've seen some mixed ones, so I'm not quite as discouraged now.
Okay, good. I'm glad. We'll see. When we know how Warcraft is, we will tell you. But in the meantime, here's some WooCraft. This is Phil Harmonix with For the Horde.
Woo.
The Horde is a political alliance between various races in Azeroth for mutual protection and trade. It is composed of the Tauren, Blood Elves, Goblin, the Forsaken, like-minded Pandarians, and of course, the Orcs. The battle cry for this amalgam of motley races, known and feared through the land and realms, is the guttural For the Horde.
For a second, we lord over Azeroth, well-known direction. Red shield on a black field battle standard. Slick branded, the Alliance can't stand it. It's not CB4, straight out of Durotar, repping Orgrimmar, ready for war. Assault with a sword, one hand and two hand we brandish. We're casters, using mace's staff for damage. Shout out to Lordaeron and the undead. When it's on, they got our back, man, enough said. Repping the blood red elves, the only species where men look a bit beachy. At the other end of the scale, the orcs beastly. Can't forget, the cool mind roster. Safari and trolls respect, and when we going for Alliance next, gotta tap a Tauren. They got mad beef for any war in any continent, any land, any planet. Long as the goblins is mobbing, we'll handle it. It ain't an accident, foes get dismantled with a Pandarian fist of steel feeding ravenous. Got a hell screen battle axe just to smack you with. Go ahead, get every buff, doesn't matter, it's the low talk. Battle cries sound like Mozart, the horde just peeling the facade from your whole squad.
For the horde,
the rallying cry to start a war.
For the horde,
I cleave through shield, shatter swords. My camp of corpse were never bored.
For the horde,
I'd rather be feared than be adored.
For the horde,
the rallying cry to start a war.
For the horde,
I cleave through shield, shatter swords.
For the horde,
my camp of corpse were never bored.
For the horde,
I'd rather be feared than be adored.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Can I take this out now?
Put it in deeper, whore!
Do you have a tissue?
I got my mouth.
There, sandwich wrapper. Are we done?
Please be done.
Please be done. Please be done. Okay, fine. I'm done. Goodbye. God damn it, Bart! What about that bottle of vodka?